guys, and turn over to 347, 347. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumming chords again. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting neath His sheltering wing. Always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon He's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Amen. Amen.
Let's remain standing as we look to the Lord in prayer. And Brother Zimmerman, would you lead us, please, in our prayer today? Amen. All right. Who's reading our scripture this morning?
Look who's coming up here. Hi, Bob.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
All right.
Okay. Scripture reading this morning is from Psalms, and it'll be chapter 8, if you want to look that up. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and a son of man that thou hast visited him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, all the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. Our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Hey. Are we going to sing now?
Yes, sir.
Our men.
Let's see. Do we have chorus right now? Yes, we do. We have men's chorus.
Men's chorus.
Men's chorus.
Yeah, come on up. Come on back up here, please. Come on. We're going to sing.
Amen.
We've got to gather around this microphone because we want this to be on our tape.
Is this microphone working?
Yeah. Come on, leader.
We sing this now so those who listen to the CD can hear it. So we're going to use this over here.
Okay.
We didn't take it.
There's four verses. And after they sing the four verses, once you all stand, we're going to sing the first. All the congregation will sing the first. My country, 'tis of thee.
Amen.
Of the pure.
Right, we're going to turn over to 197, 197. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Amen. Amen. Would you all rise? And for our offering, we're going to sing 379. 379. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do. Yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee. For Thou and Thy atonement didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone. Living for Jesus, who died in my place,
bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer his call. Follow his leading and give him my all. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee. For thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Living for Jesus wherever I am, doing each duty in his holy name, willing to suffer affliction and loss, taking each trial as a cross. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee. For thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of his smile. Seeking the lost ones, he died to redeem. Bringing the weary to find rest in him. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee. For thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. Praise God. Amen.
Brother Gene, would you lead us, please, in prayer?
Heavenly Father, bless the church and bless this offering, Lord, that it may go out amongst all missionaries and souls wins, and let them lead souls to Christ, and open churches and spread the gospel.
Amen.
Praise be to each and every one here that do give, Lord. Bless them, bless their families, and please be upon our sick, Lord. Bring them home, and keep them well, and be upon each and every one of us, Lord, for their attendance. And we're here to hear the preacher's message today. Bless our pastor, Lord, and give him the word and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Brother Johnny, do you have a song for us this morning, please, sir?
Good morning, everyone. I just want to say this morning that the God and my Lord that I serve is so wonderful, Pastor. Praise God. He take care of those who belong to him, no matter what. You know what? On the 24th of July, this year be 6 years since I was stricken with a stroke. You know what? I was in a desert place for a while. But my God is true to his word and Amen. To his people. Amen. He brought me through. He restored me. And now he's giving me back my song ministry at Frederica Manor. Amen. Praise God. Next month on the 14th, I will once again sing God's praises to those who are shut in. Oh, that gets my heart, Pastor. I'm so glad. A few of them that's there, they remember me. They say, welcome back. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you know what? When I realized that, when I knew that I was coming back, at the beginning, like when I got saved, the moment I got saved, God's glory began to roll in my heart again. Please. Oh, he's the one. I cannot do without him, Pastor. Listen, my friend. I was praying that day, asking God to forgive me. I was deep in despair, had no peace within. I surrendered my all unto Jesus the Savior. Then his glory came down. Oh, I was saved from sin. All his glory didn't roll. I was happy and free. But I heard a sweet voice whisper pardon to me. What a wonderful joy I was given with. When my Savior in love saved me from my sin. And you know why I've been rejoicing ever since? Oh, even the bad times when I was afflicted, I trusted my Jesus because I know he was not going to leave me nor desert me. Praise God. He's not like man. He's God. Now listen. I will praise his dear name for his wonderful victory. And with peace in my heart, all along the way, I'm longing to see heaven's glorious city and to hear my Lord say, come live with me. All his glory didn't flow. I was happy and free when I heard his sweet voice speak pardon to me. What a wonderful joy I was feeling with when my Savior in love saved me from my sin. Oh, in the glory did roll. I was happy and free when I heard his sweet voice speak pardon to me. What a wonderful joy I was given within, with my Savior and His love. Save me from my sin, Holy, save me from my sin. Yes, He did that. Glory to my Lord Jesus. I'm going to see Him one day. And I'm going to praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to my King.
If you noticed in your bulletin this morning, you saw that tonight I'm going to be speaking on the subject of the prodigal son. I haven't preached that sermon in a while, and I was reading it the other day, and oh, I'll tell you, it just touched my heart, and I want to share some things with you tonight about the prodigal son. But this morning, we're going to look at my message entitled, Who is King? Who is King? We'll ask that question and answer it. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, we'll begin reading in verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 8. And it came to pass, when Samuel was old, drop back to verse 15 of the previous chapter there, it says, and Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. I look at that and I think about what a life. He judged Israel. God used him as the last judge of Israel all the days of his life. So when he's old, he made his sons judges over Israel. I think that's wonderful. He's carrying over his service to the Lord into the lives of his sons. He had two boys. And now then we see them as they are following in the footsteps of their father. But the problem is, he made his sons judges. We're going to find out that there's a difference whenever God makes somebody a judge, and when a father, I can see the desire of his heart. He wants his sons to follow in his footsteps. He wants them to be servants of God's people as he was all the days of his life. He knows what a joy it is to serve the Lord. And he wants his sons to do the same thing. So he made them judges over Israel. Now the name of his firstborn was Joel. The name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre. Now, what in the world is lucre? Any of you have any lucre? You shouldn't, because we just passed the offering plates because lucre is money. They turned aside after lucre. the wealth of the world. And they took bribes, filthy lucre, and perverted judgment. They certainly were not like Samuel, were they? Sounds to me like they were kind of like politicians. They perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah. That's where he lived. They said unto him, "Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways." Now, make us a king to judge us like all the nations. All the other nations around us have kings to rule them. Make us kings. This was back in 1065 BC when they did this. If you're interested in dates. Let's see how Samuel took this. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. He talked to God about it. And the Lord said unto Samuel, "Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." This is the time when they officially have rejected God as reigning over them. Now, this passage of Scripture marks a sad time in the history of the nation of Israel. After their redemption from Egyptian bondage, when God had raised up a deliverer, Moses, who went down to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and said, "Let my people go, that they may serve me." God had originally set up his government. He took them over into the desert place called Sinai, to that great mountain. And there, God gave his people rules for their government. And he ruled over them. The form of government they had was not a republic of Israel, not the democracy of Israel, but it was the theocracy of Israel. Theo meaning God rules. God reigns over his people. He's their king. Or at least he wanted to be. He wanted to be their Lord, their ruler. He wanted to govern them. He wanted to rule over them. They are his redeemed people, and he wants to lead them in a righteous way. We read a lot in the Bible about God's millennial kingdom, what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back and when he rules over the world in righteousness for 1,000 glorious years. That's what we have to look forward to. God was ruling Israel here, or he wanted to. He wanted them to live the kind of lifestyle that would merit his blessings, that would justify him in blessing them. He would bless his people, but by their lives they would kind of earn his blessings. You see what he's talking about? But they rebel against God, and they express their desire to have a human being be their judge, their king, instead of God. They insist on it. Verse 19, we will have a king over us. So God said to Samuel in verse 22, hearken unto their voice, listen to them, and make them a king, a human king. And did you know it? I want you to notice that from this day forward, there's a degrading that takes place. There is a spiritual dimension of their nation. They begin to go downhill from here. When God is rejected as their ruler, and man is substituted in God's place, you're going to have a deterioration in your life, in my life, in the life of a nation. Ever since you and I have been born again, we have been living in a spiritual dimension of life. Because God comes into our hearts and the Holy Spirit takes up his dwelling in us, and God rules over our lives, or at least he wants to. We've got problems. Paul speaks of our two natures that we have, because we still have the sinful nature, but we have a spiritual nature. A sinful nature and a spiritual nature. Dwelling, living in the same body. No wonder we have problems. Because sin is still there. Our bodies are physical. And we live around physical items, around material things, around worldly things, around things that are temporal. Sure, we can go down today and buy one of the newest automobiles with all of its bells and whistles. It's a beautiful thing. And we enjoy it. We drive it. But as time passes, it gets old. It grows older. And it depreciates in value. And the first thing you know, next year's model comes out and they've refined everything. And we look at our new car and compare it with the newer one. And we're disappointed because ours is growing old. And we desire a newer one, the newer model. Now listen, in the spiritual world, we have these physical things. God's behind it. He's in charge of it. Biblical truth is found in the book that governs our lives. That governs not only our lives, but the affairs of the universe. God's still in charge insofar as we're concerned. But here they're saying, we want to entrust the leadership of our nation to a human being. We want to take it out of the hands of God, and we want to put it in the hands of a physical man who will be our king, our dictator, our potentate. And God is saying, but they can't do what I can do. And they reply, we don't care. We want to move God off the throne and put man in his place. He tells Samuel, they've not rejected you, they've rejected me. Maybe that's the reason God called them a peculiar people. It's strange that mankind would do such a thing as this. They're wanting to dethrone God and put someone in charge that can't tell his left hand from his right. They want to put someone in charge of their nation who is corrupt and sinful. Someone who will seek his own prosperity to the hurt of the people that he governs. They prefer that to God. Remember that these Jews are a special people to God. They have been chosen by him, selected by him, redeemed by him from Egyptian bondage. They've been chosen to bring God's word to the people, all the people of this world. Our Bible came to us through those people. Our Redeemer came to us through those people because Jesus was a Jew. Now, through them, God is going to make himself manifest in the flesh. He's going to bring a universal salvation. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. And he's going to do it through his death, burial, and resurrection. This might be a good time to tell you that this message is for those of us who belong to the Lord, who have been bought with the price. Those of us who have been born again into the family of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We've been redeemed by his blood. Through him, our sins and iniquities have been blotted out. Our names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we have been given the privilege of choosing which king is going to be the ruler of our individual lives. And we are free to make that choice. No one is going to force us. Anyway, it was a sad day in Israel. Their spiritual skies became cloudy. Someone flipped a switch and the spiritual light was turned off. And the music stopped as the stars no longer sang together. In their darkness, they could not see what they had done to themselves. God said to them, or said of them in verse 7, "They've not rejected you, Samuel. They have rejected me, that I should not reign over them." Verse 8, he said, "They have forsaken me and served other gods." God forbid that we should ever have that kind of spirit and attitude. We want to be of those who recognize that their only real master, who cares for our souls, who knows the future, and who controls the future, who can lead us in the way that God wants us to go. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. He's the Good Shepherd. He is our Lord and our Master. He is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And He's the one who wants to rule us. God has given us the freedom of will that we can reject Christ from reigning over us. What did the Jews say when they crucified him? "We will not have this man to rule over us." So we're rejecting the rulership of Christ. And when we do that, we open the door for another taskmaster. The evil one to come in and take control. So God tells Samuel, "Samuel, go ahead, give them their request." But in verse 9, he says, "Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them and show them the manner of the king that shall rule over them. Tell them what it's going to be like when they have a man over them as king instead of God." Look at verse 11. And he said, "This will be the manner of the king." That shall reign over you. Here's what you can expect. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. and some shall run before his chariots. He will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground, that is, to farm his lands, and to reap his harvest, and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectioners, and be cooks, and to be bakers. And he will take, you notice each of these, he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. And he will take the tenth of your sheep and ye shall be his servants. Pardon me. And ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you. And the king and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we may be like the other nations of the world. That's man's government. We sure seem to be in that position today, don't we? That's what it's like when man becomes the government over the people. Now, what I'm going to say about politicians should not be construed as a political statement. But when we go to the polls to vote here in the United States of America, we should vote for the person who knows the Lord and who knows the Bible and believes it. When people run for a public office and we vote for them, we should vote for someone who knows the book and knows the God of the book. One who looks out for the people and is not out to just feather his own nest, as they used to say. But we saw their reaction. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations. Wake up, Israel! Nobody is going to have your best interest at heart but the Lord. Nobody is going to know the future and get you through the wilderness. Nobody is going to know how to maneuver you through the landmines of life. Nobody else knows how to get you over the mountain and through the woods and across the river, but God. Nobody's going to care for your life like God does. And nobody's going to love you like God loves you. I don't care who you vote for. You won't find anybody that can really take God's place. And you have a choice. He is a living and a loving God. He wants to be a part of your life in a real and living way. He wants to take the keys of truth and unlock the chains of sin that bind you to death. He wants to come into your life and undo all of the damage that Satan has done. And he can. He wants to release you. And he wants to take you out of the confinement that's kept you locked up from everything that's good. He wants to dress you up in the doctrines of Christ. He wants to dress you up in that imputed robe of His righteousness. And He wants to have your faith and your consent to rule your life. Let me ask you a personal question. Have you ever hurt? Do you understand pain? Have you ever faced difficulties in your life? Have you ever experienced grief and sorrow when a loved one dies? Do you sweat from your toil and labor? If you do, let me tell you how it all came about, if I may. A long time ago, Adam and Eve, they were happy in a beautiful garden that was called the Garden of Eden. God would come down in the cool of the day and have fellowship with them personally. They were surrounded by peace and perfection. And God was God. Then Satan came, and he talked Eve into believing that it wasn't a good arrangement, and that she should be like God. So he said to her, "Here, eat this fruit. God lied to you about it. You will not die like God said you would." She did. And so did Adam. And they lost the light. Satan became their master, and they were cast out into a kingdom of darkness where there is sin and evil and wickedness and violence and sickness and sorrow and death. thorns and thistles began to grow in their fields. You understand what I'm talking about? If you do not allow Christ to be king in your life, if you reject him, Satan will re-enter your world and take control. Did you ever wonder why there is so much crime and violence and wars and killings in the world? It's because Satan is king. If you do not allow Christ to be king in your life, if you reject him, you're going to lose. Crime and violence and wars is flowing and destroying like never before. I saw it says that every 24 seconds a baby is killed by abortion in the United States of America. Every 24 seconds, a little baby is killed, murdered in the United States. Why? Because Satan is king. Read about it. The prisons in our nation are filled to capacity, and we're having to turn even murderers loose because we have no place to keep them penned up, because Satan is king. Twenty years ago, pardon me, 50 years ago, 72% of couples living together were married to each other. Today, 51%, and it's still continuing on its way down. Why? Because Satan is king. Who's winning the war? We are spiritual beings living in a physical vessel. We are governed by God's spiritual laws, whether we like it or not. Morality is a spiritual lifestyle. Honesty and truthfulness is spiritual behavior. Kindness and respect are spiritual accomplishments. Am I placing my faith, my trust, my hope of eternal life for my mortal soul, my hope of resurrection from the dead? Am I placing all of that in someone that I will not allow to be the ruler or the master of my life? I say, Lord, when I die, I want to go to your heaven, but I don't want you to be king of my life. I don't want you to rule my life, but I'm going to trust you for the hereafter. the choice is yours. Will you choose him to be your king? Who will you install on the throne of your life? You have a choice. God said, I want to be your king. He said to Israel, I want to be your king. Israel said, no. We don't want you to be our king anymore, God. We want a man to rule over us. And they got one. And we still have man ruling over us. If you don't recognize that, if you don't acknowledge that, you don't listen to the news broadcast. You don't read your newspaper. It's there. So we have God, or we have man. They each want to rule. Are we going to be like Israel and say we want a man to rule over us? But look what happened. From that time forward, the Bible is a history book. It tells you what happened. It shows you what happened to them as a people, as a nation, when they rejected God from being their ruler. And our Lord Jesus Christ says, look, I redeemed you. I died on the cross for your sins. I paid the penalty. I'm the one who ought to be ruling your life, because I'm the one that's going to take you to heaven when you die. I'm the one that's going to get you out of the grave when the time comes for the trumpet to sound. Won't you trust me? Let me be the king over your life and not man. I better quit and let you go home. Let's stand together. Jesus wants to rule in your life. He wants to give you all of the good things that he has for you. But you have to consent to it and accept it by faith. Heavenly Father, we bow before you today. Our hearts are open. Our hearts are touched by your word. And I pray that each one of us today might let Jesus come into our hearts, into our lives, and rule us, and bring us the good things that he wants to bring, and be our guide, our ruler, our king. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
493.
Softly and tenderly Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Patient and loving, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me.
God says, come home. Come back to him today. Will you come?
Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Thank you. You're a wonderful congregation. I love each and every one of you. Glad you came today. Hope that we've been able to say something that will help you live for Christ, make your life better. That's what we've tried to do with the help of God, the Holy Spirit. Give you a plan for your life and let God be our King. Remember the service tonight, the prodigal son, 6 o'clock, okay? As we're dismissed in prayer, Brother David, would you lead us, please, in our benediction?
It's been so good to be here today, Lord, to praise your name, to sing praises, to listen at your word, Lord, and we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. You told us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And Lord, just help us to seek you, seek your face, Lord, and always count on you. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Lord, help us to always know that. Help us to look up, for our redemption is there. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for this opportunity that we've had today. We ask you to just bless us, Lord, continue to bless our church. Help us to come back again tonight, Lord, in faithfulness to hear your word and be together, Lord, as a church. And Lord, we just pray for our community here, Lord, that we can have an impact here, Lord. We're not doing enough. We're not. Lord, we're not doing enough. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to start to do what you would want us to do here in this community. Lord, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.